With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P. Joe P is up here, and it's Monday morning. You know what that means? It's time to hit the waiver wire. Maybe there's not a whole lot of names that can help you. There might be some here, some hidden gems, and we're going to talk about them right here. To help me do that, of course, as always, D-Bro, Derek Brown, the King of Bros, and Pat Fitzmaurice. Pat Fitzmaurice, by the way, who was so loyal to the Chicago Bears yesterday on the live stream, to Justin Fields, to DJ Moore, and boy, oh boy, was he right. Unfortunately, it didn't go the Bears' way, but from a fantasy perspective, I know that probably hurt Pat to be such a full-throated endorsement of all those Chicago Bears, but I mean, everybody stood up and listened. Hopefully you played all those guys. Hopefully you had a good week four. I know it's coming to a close tonight, but Pat, you know, going back to Sunday Night Football too, did you find it kind of annoying that every 5 seconds they had to cut back to, you know, the diva in the box who wasn't playing football? And of course, by that, I mean Aaron Rodgers. Did that annoy you every time as a Packer fan that they kept going back to Aaron Rodgers to see his disdain for Zach Wilson and his disgruntled mustachioed frown every time things didn't go well?
That was really well played, Joe. I don't even know if I can come up with a response to that. But yes, the cutaways. And at times the action in the, you know, in the crowd was a little more interesting than the action on the field. But hey, credit the Jets for making it a game. But yeah, you know, if there's one person who can steal thunder from Taylor Swift and Blake Lively, I guess it's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman. I mean, there was a fun joke to be made, too, like the Hugh Jackman going through the metal detector thing. Nobody made that joke. D-Bro, as a nerd, that kind of disappointed me. Like, they kind of dropped the ball there. But I will say this, too. If you haven't been reading the primer lately, like, you're doing yourself a disservice, because D-Bro has been crushing that thing. Derek, last week, another phenomenal week, the Puka Nacua stuff, the Alvin Kamara stuff, getting him back in the lineup. Like, I got to say, you know, credit where credit is due, man. It's been a really good start to the season. This past Sunday, I feel like, was really strong in particular, and I'm excited for week five. But that being said, D, I mean, here we are. I'm not gonna you know, last week I was tough on Derek Brown. I saw the comments. It was very fun. So I'm trying to be kind here at the top of the show. So look, there's nothing else coming here. I just want you to take your flowers.
Like, much like the audience, I don't know how to take this right
just
now.
Just take your flower. Take your flowers. I'm going to be nice at the top of the show. All right, let's get to what really matters here, the waiver wire. And of course, we're going to start with, you know what, the waiver wire sleeper pickup of the week. And it's Jaleel McLaughlin. Did he do that? Yes, he did. 100 total yards for him on offense. He also had an 18-yard score. Of course, he's only 2% rostered for the Denver Broncos. Now, Jaleel McLaughlin stepped in when, unfortunately, Javonte Williams had to step out. It's a hip issue that he's dealing with. He came out of that game. He's going for an MRI today. So I know this is a little dicey, gentleman, here as we sit at the top, and we've declared him the waiver wire pickup of the week. And I'm kind of emphasizing of the week because we don't know right now if it's going to be 1 week, 2 weeks, maybe several. Who knows? We're waiting for the results. So this becomes a tricky thing depending on when waivers run. So, Pat, let's start with you on this one, because McLaughlin certainly filled in well. He filled in well also against a defense that has struggled mightily this year, the Chicago Bears. So I think a lot of running backs might look better in those circumstances. But if you're going to cut your sleeves off like Sean Payton and go for it here, what does Jaleel McLaughlin's future, at least in the short term, look like to you?
In the short term, I think it looks okay. Like, I think he's going to maybe get a little more work than, well, Samaje Perine outsnapped him yesterday. Perine just didn't get a lot of usage, and Jaleel McLaughlin was ruthlessly efficient with the touches he did get. So, and, you know, he showed burst in the preseason, too. So I think we can be at least mildly excited about him. And we've got bye weeks hitting now, Joe. So bye weeks, and this is a week when there is not a lot to target on the waiver wire. So I think that might drive up bids on Jaleel McLaughlin and maybe pump them up past the point you're comfortable with. What do I think he's worth? I think he's worth, I don't know, 8 to 10% this week if you're looking for sort of a short-term solution. And maybe they kind of slow play the return of Javonte Williams with what he went through with the ACL reconstruction in the offseason. Maybe they're worried about cascading injuries where he comes back prematurely and, you know, that causes something else to get hurt. So I could see them being cautious, sitting him for 2 or 3 weeks, and maybe McLaughlin has a little runway here to be fantasy relevant.
That runway looks like this, Derek Brown. The New York Jets next week, they are in Denver for that game. Then the Kansas City Chiefs, Green Bay Packers, the Kansas City Chiefs again. So you're getting the two Chiefs games there. And then they hit the bye in week 9. So a tough stretch here, theoretically, facing the Jets defense, Kansas City twice, and the Packers. That being said, let's talk about your opinion of where McLaughlin fits in terms of the hierarchy in price and fab that you want to spend on this guy who might be a short-term solution. But as to Pat's point, you know, because Javonte's coming off the ACL, maybe, you know, as they continue to, you know, kind of get off to a slow start. And I'll tell you what, the start doesn't look much better with the Kansas City Chiefs coming up twice in the next 4 weeks. Do you think maybe they do hold Williams back a little bit more and they are cautious, and that's a good thing for McLaughlin's value?
Well, the way I'm looking at him, and I've been kind of stewing or at least sitting here pondering my thoughts, whatever Pat's talking about Joel. And with McLaughlin, I put it into the sheet here. 5 to 7% of fab. And the more I've thought about this, I think like we need to be at Pat's level, maybe a little bit more aggressive, only if we're looking at the long and short term approach here. I was prepared to come on this show and be like, forget about it. Don't worry about him. But the more I think about it, like Samaje Perine has not been fantastic.
Nope.
Javonte Williams has been, they've been nursing him back to health. And now with this injury, and the other thing about it, we see these type of compensatory injuries, and I'm not saying that's exactly what this is, but we see injuries pop up first year off an ACL for running backs. That's nothing new. So McLaughlin, the more that I sit here and think about it, I'm like, okay, not only does he have a runway of maybe 1 to 2 weeks, maybe he could have a runway for the rest of the season, considering if anything happens to Javonte Williams, not only is he out, but the other thing that could happen in this backfield is just he hops Samaje Perine, because Perine's not look good, guys. Mm-hmm. Like, what if McLaughlin is the RB2 in this backfield? He has a standalone role for the rest of the season. Because, I mean, after this injury, do we see them like ramping up Javonte Williams to 15 to 20 touches? Like, even when he comes back to this, like, they could just not get to that point this year. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, and McLaughlin overtakes Samaje, which I don't think is going to take him much to do, because he is a talented runner. I mean, we're looking at a guy for the preseason, 3.1 yards after contact per attempt. In college, 1.2 yards per route run. He has the ability to play in both phases. So the more I've thought about this, I'm with Pat, 8 to 10%.
Okay.
And to be honest, if you're struggling at running back, and especially in PPR leagues, because we are seeing they are checking the ball down in Denver to the running back, Sean Payton uses those guys in the passing game, maybe we should be more towards the 10 to 12% mark.
Makes sense to me. He did have 3 receptions on the 3 targets for 32 yards. That's where the touchdown came as well. Not the biggest guy, too. 5'7", 187, mm-hmm. but it's a different NFL. I mean, you see it every single week. You're the Tank Dells of the world, the Devon Achans of the world. It is a whole different universe we're living in, of course. That's the Sleeper waiver wire pickup of the week. Don't forget to play all of your leagues on Sleeper. I know I do. Or as many as I possibly can. Everybody who knows me knows that. Derek Brown knows. Pat knows. Before we move forward here, I want to remind everybody, if you drop a comment below here on the channel and you subscribe to Fantasy Pros YouTube, you could win a Christian McCaffrey San Francisco 49ers signed jersey courtesy of Betting Pros. Again, we want you to bet smarter, not harder. So join Betting Pros today. Go subscribe to that channel too. But all you have to do to win this one, again, subscribe to the channel, drop a comment below here on the Waiver Wire podcast, like you always do anyway, and turn that bell on for notifications till it goes ding so you know if you're the big winner. Christian McCaffrey's always a big winner, scoring touchdowns at an alarming rate, 13 games in a row, not too shabby. So this is one you're going to want. All you 49er fans, all you CMC fans, drop the comments below, subscribe to Fantasy Pros, and win the CMC jersey.
Running backs.
So let's get after the next guys on the list here. Chuba Hubbard, 33% rostered there. And another running back that we've talked about in the past, Pat, who has the ability to, you know, potentially if Miles Sanders' health doesn't cooperate, that Chuba Hubbard would be in for a bigger workload. Your thoughts on Chuba Hubbard this week, because I know he's a guy who's come up in the past, but do you think it's more imperative now that we're, you know, almost 5 weeks into the season to be adding him and adding that RB depth?
Yeah, I mean, he's not a bad guy to have because he has some standalone value and he is an important handcuff who could potentially gain a lot of value if anything happened to Miles Sanders. And Miles Sanders is right now not at full health. So, yeah, I like him. I mean, you have some concerns about the potency of the Panthers offense, which has not exactly been, you know, humming like a finely tuned machine so far. But still, I think Chuba is a solid ad. I mean, not worth a lot of money, but if he's out there on waivers, worth a small bid, 5 to 6%.
D-Bro, your thoughts on Chuba Hubbard, again, up to 33% on Sleeper right now in terms of rostership. Do you think Chuba is a guy that people should be rostering? As Pat alluded to as well, the buys are coming here.
You should roster him, but I'm not, I mean, I'm below Pat, 1 to 2% if I miss out him on waivers. Okay. Like, I get the upside case, and he has played well in limited time this year. Like, 5.0 yards after contact per attempt is good. But again, I'm going to point back to the context of this offense. Even Miles Sanders at the volume is not doing a whole heck of a lot with it. I don't think Chuba is going to be that much more better with the volume if he were to get the job. So I see the upside case for him. I'm just not that interested.
All right. Are you interested at all in Jamal Williams? I know we just got returning Alvin Kamara. We were very excited about that. That worked out well, especially when Derek Carr came back and was limited in terms of how he could throw the football. It was going to be obviously Alvin Kamara's season, but Jamal Williams theoretically does have a role in this offense too, especially around the goal line. He is 54% rostered, so still pretty high, D, but still available in almost half of leagues. Do you think people should be trying to add him now?
It depends on your bench and stuff. Like, I think Williams is worth a pickup. But again, he's another guy. Just toss all the rest of these running backs, like, for the majority of them in the bucket and say, if I get him, cool. If I don't, oh, well, I'll just move on to the next handcuff that I can pick up for 1% to 2%. And I'm not going to sit here and rule out the fact of Jamal Williams, like, they gave him the contract. I'm not going to rule out the fact of Kendre Miller taking over that RB2 role as we move through the season. So I don't want to overspend for Williams.
Pat, what are your thoughts on Williams, too? Are you in the same spot as Derek, where you don't want to overpay?
Yeah, D-Bro summed it up well, and I think maybe I'm even less interested than he is. I mean, Jamal Williams doesn't really add any value as a pass catcher. He does have Kendre Miller possibly behind him, ready to move up on the depth chart, and he's got Alvin Kamara ahead of him. And, you know, this is not really an explosive offense. So, I don't know, Jamal doesn't really interest me all that much.
All right, fair enough. You know what should interest everybody is DraftKings. And we're back for another week of football. And DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping us in on the NFL action with great offers every single game day. So new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. That's exciting. Throw five down on any of this week's epic matchups and walk away an instant winner. And DraftKings isn't stopping there. No, no, no. All customers can take advantage of two new offers every single game day this coming month. So football's more fun when you have some, you know, a little bit of action in on the game. So download the app now and sign up with the promo code FantasyPros. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. With that promo code FantasyPros, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available. For problem gambling, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort KS. Licensee partner Golden Nugget Lake Charles, Louisiana, 21 or over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms for eligibility terms and responsible gaming resources. Bonus bets expire after 7 days issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Let's see if we want to put a crown on Jeffrey Wilson Jr. Derek Brown, this is one of your guys historically, but Devon Achane looked very good. Raheem Mostert has been good all year. I know it was a disappointing week in Buffalo for the Miami Dolphins, but is Wilson somebody people should be rostering? Because right now, he's available in 80% of leagues, rostered in just 22%. Your thoughts on Jeffrey Wilson, D?
He's another 1-2 percenter. I wish I could say it was higher than that. But look, I think that if you were going to compare Jeff Wilson versus Chuba Hubbard and Jamal Williams, I think he's at the top of that heap. That might surprise people. But honestly, the Miami Dolphins are one of the best offenses in the NFL. Red zone trips, everything. But I'm just going to sit here and use this part of my talking point to just give flowers to Pat Fitzmaurice here. I mean, Devon Achane, he said pay aggressively. That's his dude. And look, we got the reports yesterday. I was in RFP Slack, and I was like, I'm moving Achane up. He's going up into the top 15 because they said they're going to give him more of the workload. And it happened, man, and he crushed. So flowers for Fitz, and that leaves me a little bit less than enthused than I thought I would be hopping on this show about El Jefe.
I know, it's very depressing. It's sad for you. But, you know, Fitz, you also warned everybody, don't believe everything you hear when it comes to all that stuff, right? You were saying yesterday, I remember on the live stream Sunday, you and I, and join us every Sunday on the live streams, right? We take you from 10 to 12. We answer questions. We talk about what's going on leading up to the games. But, Pat, you were warning everybody, don't always listen to the noise, because sometimes they say they're going to increase workload and it doesn't always happen, or game script doesn't follow. Well, game script didn't follow. But you know what? They did follow the lead there. They absolutely did give Achane more work.
Yeah, he got more work and cashed in on it. And now, I mean, we're looking at 6 touchdowns in 2 weeks, which is pretty exciting. So,
it's not bad.
And look, I am interested in adding Jeff Wilson as a stash if I have room for him, because I would rather have the third running back in the Miami Dolphins offense than I think the second back on the New Orleans Saints offense. I mean, this is an offense that can support 2 fantasy relevant running backs. And if anything were to happen to either Mostert or Achane, Wilson becomes one of the top two, and there's fantasy value to that. So, and this is a guy who also has some history with Mike McDaniel, who's been just a nice Swiss Army knife, jack of all trades type back in San Francisco and Miami. So I think he's worth a little bit of a bid. And the nice thing is, I don't think you're going to have to go too far out over your skis to acquire Jeff Wilson this week. Like, that's, there's not going to be a lot of heat for him on the waiver wire.
It's a great point. He's probably really cheap, or even in a trade as a tossback piece, just to have the insurance policy of having another back in that Miami Dolphins backfield. So really smart stuff there. It's not always about, you know, spending all the cash. Sometimes it's about, you know, good acquisitions that could pay off, not necessarily in week 5, but maybe in week 10. Remember, it's a very long season. It might be a short season for some of these guys I want to talk about next. Who to drop? So if Jaleel McLaughlin is our number one ad this week at running back, right? Kareem Hunt. Pat, are you ready to drop Kareem Hunt after the first 2 weeks you've seen him here with the Cleveland Browns? I know things didn't go well for the Browns on Sunday, but do you think Kareem Hunt is droppable for living in the moment of Jaleel McLaughlin?
Yeah, the surface stats weren't pretty. 5 carries for 12 yards yesterday, but things were kind of doomed from the start when we had that surprise scratch of Deshaun Watson and they had to throw the rookie in on short notice. But I don't know. There's kind of a silver lining around Hunt's usage. Like, he only played 15 snaps, but on those 15 snaps, he either had a carry or ran a route on 13 of them. So while he is the clear number two, I think, behind Jerome Ford, this is going to be a good team. We know the Browns have a good defense. Didn't have a great game defensively against the Ravens, but like, they're going to be in games. They're going to have a lot of run-friendly game scripts. And I think Hunt is actually a decent backup running back to have on your team. So I'm not that eager to cut him. You know, if you have to, you have to. It's a bye week. You might need to make moves, but he's a guy I'd be trying to hold.
All right, D-Bro, are you trying to hold Kareem Hunt, or would you drop him for some of these more insurance policy backs that we're talking about? Because he's an insurance policy back, too, to a certain degree.
I was never on the pickup Kareem Hunt train.
I know, but it doesn't matter. Now we're here, so those people pick him up. Okay.
You can drop him. You should have never had him.
Totally fine. All right, what about A.J. Dillon, Derek Brown? A.J. Dillon, 5 attempts, 11 yards. When he got the full run of the backfield before that, 11 attempts, 33. You're already saying goodbye, so I guess there's nothing left to say. So you would drop A.J. Dillon for Jaleel McLaughlin?
Yeah, cheesehead Josh Kelly. That's all AJ Dillon is. Bye-bye.
Pat Fitzmaurice, do you agree or disagree? Is it too early to drop AJ Dillon despite the fact that he has not looked good this year?
He has not looked good, and with Aaron Jones out in weeks 2 and 3, A.J. Dillon didn't do anything. So, yeah, he can go. With Jones back, I mean, there's just no value whatsoever.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about the best way to buy tickets this summer and all year round. I love live events. Everybody who follows me on social media knows that. I'm out the wrestling shows. I'm out at the concerts. I'm out everywhere. and you get all these fees for all these events, and they suck. They just suck. You know it. I know it. Customer service is terrible. Coordinating with friends is just a hot mess. It's a nightmare. But then I discovered Fanimal. And the great thing about Fanimal is it's got tickets to everything. Concerts, festivals, basketball, baseball games, hockey games, and of course, NFL. And there's no fees. That's right. You heard me. No fees. The price you see is the price you actually pay. What a concept. Fanimal is the cheapest place on the internet to get tickets for anything you want to go attend. So we've all experienced how painful it is to coordinate events with friends, and you always end up fronting a bunch of money, right? And then you're chasing down this guy or that girl to get reimbursed. And if they flake, then you're stuck with the bill, but not at Fanimal. No, no, no. At Fanimal, they have something amazing. They have the patented group purchase, and that makes it easy to split payments with your friends, so nobody's left holding the bag. You don't commit until your friends do. You just pick the seats, pick how many tickets you want, and you pay for yourself, not everybody else, and send the link to your friends to do the same. And when they join your group, everybody gets charged separately, and your tickets are secured. Plus, you could stack cash by inviting friends. $10 every time someone joins your group. Ka-ching! Let's go. Oh yeah, Fanimal has amazing customer service too. Don't forget about that. Take my word for it. Check out their hundreds of five-star reviews, and next time you need tickets, go right to Fanimal.com or download the Fanimal app and use that promo code FANIMALPROS. That's FANIMALPROS for $20 off your purchase. No fees. Make it simple. Check out Fanimal today and experience more. And now back to the action.
All right, I'm going to run through some names here. Justice Hill, Ezekiel Elliott, Rico Dowdle. I know Elijah Mitchell is a guy we talked about last week too. Tank Bigsby, Taji Spears. Spears and Mitchell, I think we've already established, are guys that should probably be rostered because the upside of having them on your bench is great if there is an injury to the person ahead of them. I know McCaffrey was great yesterday. I know Derrick Henry was great yesterday. But again, it's just 1 week. Anything can happen. Be prepared. But there's names like Ronnie Rivers floating around there too, Pat. Is there anybody out there you think is worth another roster stash potentially in this running back group of free agents?
Well, you hit on it, Joe, as far as Mitchell and Spears being, I think, the truly valuable handcuffs, the guys who could potentially be impact guys if the starters ahead of them got hurt. I would maybe add Tank Bigsby to that list, and I would maybe add Rico Dowdle to that list. You know, Ronnie Rivers, I'm not quite as sure about. I guess, you know, he's the guy who's in there playing if anything happens to Kyren Williams. And we've seen that when a back is going to get that much usage in the Rams backfield, there's fantasy value to that. So, yeah, Ronnie Rivers, maybe especially if you've got bigger rosters. And like, I'm not big into handcuffing before November. But if you're the Kyren Williams owner, I don't know, maybe you want to back that up with Ronnie Rivers.
Pat's more of a holiday handcuff kind of guy, just in case you want to know what's going on.
Thanksgiving, you know, Thanksgiving is handcuffing time, for the holidays.
That's handcuffing time. I have so many jokes.
Handcuffing and stuffing time, baby.
Wow. You know, I had so many jokes flow to the front of my cerebral cortex there, and then Derek Brown just hit it out of the park with that one. I'm going to leave that there. Just let everybody sit on that one. All right, let's get to the wide receivers.
Wide receivers.
I know everyone's talking about Jameson Williams and that reduction of the suspension. We'll get to him in a second. There is a guy who's rostered in 66% of leagues that I know, Pat, you're still of the mind that that's too low. So I know there's 10-team leagues out there and even 18 teams out there, you know, leagues. But Quentin Johnson rostered in 66%. Pat, you're thinking that's already something that's wrong. So before we even get to the guys who are 50 and under, basically, this is one dude that you kind of like just sending out the flare that, hey, everybody, Quentin Johnson should be rostered in your league. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And he is in Yahoo leagues. He is rostered in under half of all leagues. And he should absolutely be rostered as a guy who is a potential, I mean, a first round draft pick. So we know there's talent there. And as a possible alpha type X receiver, like Quentin Johnston fits that prototype. He just needs to have better hands. Like that's his only issue is that he has drop problems sometimes. But I mean, I think he has a higher ceiling than Jameson Williams simply because the Chargers are never going to endeavor to run the ball in the same sort of way the Lions did against the Green Bay Packers on Thursday, where David Montgomery had 32 carries. The Chargers are not all about that. You're not going to be seeing any Charger running backs with 32 carries this year. So in a passing offense triggered by Justin Herbert and with Quentin Johnston as one of the top three receivers, yes, he should be rostered.
Debro, to Pat's point, also talking about Quentin Johnson, the drops are something that you can fix. Like, that's something you can work on. Yeah. It's hard to make yourself faster. It's hard to make yourself, you know, into a more athletic human. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody works out. They're all, you know, obviously trying to do everything they can to up their athletic game. But Quentin Johnson was a very special player at TCU. It was a big reason of why they went to that national championship game, even though they got their doors blown off. My question for you is, were you with Pat too, where it's like, hey, 50% in Yahoo, that's ridiculous.
It is utterly ridiculous. Okay. Like, I get people's points on, okay, he has not hit the ground running like Tank Dell, like Puka Nacua, like we want to see out of rookies. We're four games in, people. Right. Like, can we all just kind of chill out with that? Like, we're not even half the way into his rookie season. We just barely are a quarter of the way in. And people are like, oh, well, he could be the next Rager. I don't know what's going to happen.
He is
not
Jalen Rager. That's ridiculous.
Pump the brakes here, man. Like, pump the brakes.
I love that everybody forgets, too.
The upside is still real.
That, like, there's Hall of Famers that had drops issues, and when they came into the league, Jerry Rice had terrible drop issues, the greatest receiver ever, and I'm not saying Quentin Johnson's that. Tony Gonzalez had drop issues. He became
Deontay
arguably
Johnson
the best.
We talked about drops for years.
I mean, come on,
it doesn't freaking matter.
That's one thing
it
you can
matter.
Fix, and that's a confidence thing, and it's also a lot of things. So everyone's on board with Quentin Johnston. So spend up for Quentin Johnston. Make sure you get him on your rosters. Jameson Williams, D-bro, rostered in 53% of leagues. Now that he's coming back a game sooner. We've seen Sam Laporta be very good in this offense. Obviously, mm-hmm. Amon Ross St. Brown is the sun god for a reason. Do you think Jameson Williams is somebody that you want to roster and you think is playable here, especially with the bye weeks coming up?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, 8 to 12%, bid aggressively, get him on your rosters. I mean, you're not only buying into an uber talented player, and everybody wants to say, like, okay, well, the star is dimmed because we haven't seen him play. For me, absence has made the heart grow fonder, people. Like, I'm ready to insert him into my lineups. I'm ready. Like, if he's going to be a full-time player, then what he's getting airdropped into, because let's talk about the Detroit offense. 8th in total yards per game. 7th in explosive passing rate. And, oh, dear Lord, Jared Goff is top 5 in deep ball passing grade and completion rate. We've seen what this type of role looks like in this offense. Josh Reynolds has been a name that, like, we've talked about on this show.
Yep.
People have played.
Yep.
He's had good weeks. If Jameson Williams is better Josh Reynolds, what can he do in this offense? People want difference makers. QJ could be a difference maker down the stretch. So could Jameson Williams.
I agree. This was a big play wide receiver in Alabama. He was that guy that really just would change the dynamic of a game. Metchie was the guy that moved the chains for that team, but it was Jameson Williams who really took the top off the defense. So that's an interesting piece of this Lions attack fits that they really don't have. Do you think that Williams can finally, after all this waiting we've done for 2 years for him, finally deliver?
Yeah, I know it's frustrating that we have not gotten the full dose of Jameson Williams yet. And here we are, you know, in year two and maybe 5 games in, we'll finally start to see it. I don't know if we're going to see the consistent contributions that we might be able to see from Quentin Johnston in the Chargers offense. I think it's going to be pretty hit or miss with Jameson. He's got that sort of profile. I mean, he could be a DeSean Jackson type where, you know, there are droughts where it's 2 catches for 16 yards and 3 catches for 37 and then 7 for 175 and 2 touchdowns. I think we could see that kind of erratic production from Jameson Williams. But hey, man, those 175-yard, 2 touchdown games will, you know, they'll cover up a lot of the stink right. of the lesser usage games. So, yeah, I'm thinking he is a worthwhile player to target. I would still rather
so
have
what does
Quentin
that mean
Johnston.
Price-wise, like percentage-wise?
Yeah,
I know you'd rather have Quentin Johnston, but let's say price between the two of them, like in terms of percentage, we're talking about 10% for Quentin Johnston, like 8% for Williams, or are you like 10 and above for both these guys?
Yeah, I'm calibrating it to need, of course. I'd be willing to go up to sure. you know, 15% or more for either guys if I was really hurting at wide receiver and if I had buy issues in week 5. But I think at minimum, I want to price enforce with Jameson Williams and throw out 8 to 9 no matter what. I don't think that's going to get him this week, but I do want to price enforce with a player like that and not let someone walk away with Jameson Williams for 4 or 5% of their fab budget.
Debro, what's your price in terms of fab percentage for Williams?
So the Williams versus QJ talk, I think they're in the same ballpark.
Okay.
I mean, I said, so for QJ, just to tie a bow on this, 10 to 12%, go aggressively if you need to. Same thing with JMO. It's 10 to 12%.
10 to 12%.
Yeah. I mean, I want to be bidding aggressively for both these guys. And Pat's talking about like, well, look, like, could we be looking at the here and now? Can they be guys for, you know, that can win you a week? And that's the whole thing. It's like, if you're starting one of these guys in your wide receiver three or flex spot, because at this point of the season, that's probably where they're going to end up if they make your lineup. To get that type of league winning upside on any type of week, that's what puts you over the top, is winning from the flex, man.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's a great flex play. I think both of them have the potential, but Williams is the more immediate one. Two more guys. Obviously, with the T. Higgins injury, Tyler Boyd news is going to happen, and people are familiar with Tyler Boyd. It was a rough day at the office for the Cincinnati Bengals, especially that offensive line, and Joe Burrow was a terrible day for them. 50% rostered. D-Bro, any interest in Tyler Boyd?
None.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you want to, if you really need the depth, I mean, you must be decimated at wide receiver. But no, I have no interest in Tyler Boyd. And my whole thing is, we keep playing this whole like scenario of, okay, when T. Higgins or Jamar Chase is out, Tyler Boyd does great. But we haven't seen that ever come to fruition over the last few years.
Well, like, it's hard to look at anything Tyler good Boyd, after yesterday. Yesterday was abysmal. I mean,
Tyler Boyd, the last time that he topped 70 receiving yards was week 7 of last season, and that's including the playoffs. So the production and the narrative for Tyler Boyd don't meet up. So no, if you really need somebody 1% past that, nah, you can avoid
that. Are you where Derek is when it comes to Tyler Boyd? Do you think there's more upside here or need potentially in this offense for Tyler Boyd?
I am with the wise Derek Brown on this, and I had Tyler Boyd in a couple of leagues last year, and I thought there was going to be a target windfall when either T. Higgins or Jamar Chase were hurt. Didn't really come to fruition. Like, his numbers were not horrible, but somewhat disappointing in those games where other Cincinnati starters were out. And that was with the Bengals offense humming, Joe. The Bengals offense is decidedly not humming right now, so I'm not really interested in Boyd.
What about Jaden Reed? This is a guy that I actually had to pick up last week. Again, I had dropped him and I picked him up in a couple leagues too. I like Jaden Reed fits. He's 38% rostered. I feel like this is a guy that should be closer to that 50% mark, and he's not. And I know Christian Watson's back, so I know a lot of people are going to sour on Reed. But I think for a rookie, he's actually kind of handled himself pretty well for the opening of a season, which is not something we've seen a lot of rookies do so far. Right, Pat?
Yeah, he's really good with the ball in his hands. He is just, I think he's going to have a pretty long and productive NFL career. And I know people aren't totally sold on the Packers passing game yet, and neither am I for that matter. And now Watson is back and Romeo Doubs is getting, you know, Romeo Doubs had a really nice day in week 4. So
yeah,
they're wondering how much production there is, how much meat on the bone there is for Jaden Reed. Like, I'm just willing to buy into the talent and have him at the end of my bench.
3 for 5, 55 yards. Also, the 2-point conversion on Thursday night. Your thoughts on Jaden Reed, Derek Brown?
Yeah, 2-3% bid. I'm with Pat on this one. I love the talent. I think his role, and Pat's brought this up on previous shows, his role in this offense just caps his snaps and stuff, because how often the Packers run, whether it's 21 or 12 personnel, you're looking at a guy that's never going to get to that 80 to 90% route per dropback rate. I mean, he's hovering close to 70% right now. But again, this is a guy you're betting on talent and you're betting on the efficiency. And so far, he's producing in that way. 17% target share, almost 2.0 yards per route run. And with those type of metrics, yeah, I mean, I've got interest, but we just have to keep our... like, how we're valuing
The expectations of what it could be.
Yeah, but, I mean, we have to keep that in check. But doesn't he define... he's never going to be a 90% route guy.
But Derek, doesn't he define bi-week wide receiver flex guy? Like, you know, like, to me, this is exactly the kind of dude you pounce on it now, because in a few weeks from now, when everyone's, like, rushing, you're going to pay way more to try to get him on your roster. So pay less, get him now. You should have listened last week, but whatever. It's fine. I still love you anyway, everybody. We still love you. Let's talk about maybe guys to drop. I'm going to talk about two guys from Baltimore, maybe not from Baltimore, but playing for Baltimore. Odell Beckham Jr. and Rashad Bateman. Look, I was not big on either of these guys coming into the year. Everybody knows I'm Team Zay Flowers all day long. Derek Brown, is it safe to drop either of these two Baltimore wideouts?
Bye-bye. And that makes me really sad.
I know.
Sad.
You love Rashad
Bateman. Not for
OBJ,
but Rashad Bateman. But the fact of the matter is, and... It's just been real time. He's playing a full-time role. He wasn't able to draw targets. Now he's injured again with a hamstring injury. But what we've seen on the field this year does not look like the Rashad Bateman that we saw or I saw as a prospect. The injuries really seem to have taken a toll. He's not earning targets even when he was out there for almost 70% route share. So, bye-bye.
Fitzy, are you bidding adieu to the Baltimore duo of wide receivers as well?
Like Debro, I loved Bateman when he was at the University of Minnesota. I thought he was a terrific prospect. But yes, something, it's just not the same right now.
Nope.
Believe it or not, like I've not been an Odell Beckham guy, but I kind of want to hold him. I like what this Ravens offense is doing with Todd Monken. Like okay. Lamar Jackson is getting rid of the ball really quickly. And in the last iteration of Odell Beckham that we really got a good look at when he was with the Rams, he had turned into kind of this short area receiver, much like his college teammate Jarvis Landry, where he was just operating really close to the line of scrimmage, kind of an end zone specialist. Like, I think that might work in this Todd Monken offense. So I kind of want to hang on to him if I can.
And don't forget, everybody, whatever happens in tonight's game on Monday Night Football, we always update the waiver wire column. Our waiver wire column is up and running live right now on fantasypros.com. Pat puts a tremendous amount of effort and work into that every single week.
Andy,
and it does get updated as well. And D-Bro as well. Yeah, I guess he's there too. And also, don't forget, if you need extra help too, looking at all of your different leagues, make sure you sync all your leagues to my playbook so you can see who's available in each of those leagues as we're talking about these players, because you could search, see who's got who's still on the waiver wire, use the waiver wire assistant to help you out. Again, that's fantasypros.com/myplaybook, or just download the app. It's free. Use it. It's brilliant. Use more of it when you upgrade at fantasypros.com/premium as well. A few other names real quick at wide receiver, and then we'll get to some of the streamers of the week, because some of the names on this list: Michael Wilson, splash play guy for the Arizona Cardinals, who have been really plucky. That's all I'm going to say about the Cardinals. They're plucky. They're the definition. Terrace Marshall, Rashid Shaheed, another guy that D-Bros love, but obviously maybe now a little more limited with Derek Carr's injury. Josh Downs, Marvin Mims, Kendrick Bourne. Fitzy, Marvin Mims is the guy that I want. I just want talent on my roster. I feel like he's talent on my roster. I just want to put him on my roster. I'm going to say that one more time. I want him on my roster. Fitz, do you want him on yours?
I'm going to defer to D-Bro on this one. I'm not quite as enamored. I do think he's talented. I don't want to make the assumption of rational coaching here. And I agree that Mims should be playing. Mims should be playing ahead of Brandon Johnson and little Jordan Humphrey whoever else the Sean McVay offensive McVay and his coaches want to throw in there. But even if he does work his way to being the third receiver we want him to be, like, he's still got to share targets with Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton. And this isn't one of the more explosive passing games.
Like, at some point,
do
the Broncos – look, these next couple of weeks, we just talked about the Broncos schedule, right? I mean, are they going to split with the Chiefs? I don't think so. Like, they're looking at a 1-7, you know, or a 2-5. Like, they're looking at a bad situation here. So at what point, maybe a Jeudy or a Cortland Sutton's a guy you move on from as Sean Payton starts to remake this team, and all of a sudden then Mims becomes really interesting. Derek Brown, let's talk to you about this. Like, why isn't Marvin Mims rostered in more leagues at this point?
People hate talent. I don't know, man. Like, I love Marvin Mims, and I think he's a fantastic pickup. I think you're looking at a trio of wide receivers that could be difference makers down the stretch of the season in QJ, JMO, and Marvin Mims. And Marvin Mims might be the cheapest of all of them. So you need to be rostering him. Like, walking into this week, this man had an 83.2 PFF receiving grade and 7.2 yards per route run, and he didn't do anything to change any of those numbers except keep producing with 3.9 yards per route run. I don't know why Peyton isn't playing him. He needs to do it, but every time this guy gets on the field, he produces. Yeah, big time into Marvin Mims. Stash him now.
I agree. All right, let's go to some of the streamers this week. Let's start at quarterback.
Quarterbacks, tight ends, and defenses.
Derek Brown, I mean, what more does CJ Stroud have to do, I feel like, right? I mean, that's got to be the guy, right?
It's definitely the guy. And I don't understand, when we were looking this up last night for the show, I was like, there's no way that CJ Stroud is under 50%. But here we are.
QB 10 on the year, folks.
I don't get it, man.
Just saying.
People are still like,
What about the S2 scores?
Oh, God.
It's ridiculous, dude. It's all the ridiculous narratives that came out next to the NFL draft are getting body bags. CJ Stroud is that dude going up against Atlanta. As long as you do not throw at AJ Terrell, you can have a fantastic day. You too can have a fantastic day versus the Atlanta Falcons. So, yes, plug and play CJ Stroud.
Fitz, you've got somebody too on your list for streaming QB. Who is it?
Yeah, Stroud would be my first choice, but Sam Howell not far behind, and I still don't know exactly what to make of Sam Howell. Every time I look at him and think he's pretty good, then he'll turn around and like look terrible for a little while, and then I'll think he's terrible and plays well again, like he did against the Eagles on Sunday. So I don't know what to make of him, but I do know what to make of the Chicago Bears defense, whom he faces on Thursday night. And it's bad. It's really bad. They can't generate any pass rush. They've got injuries in the secondary. I think Howell is going to pick his teeth with the Bears pass defense on Thursday.
Yeah, especially on a short week. That does not sound like, I mean, the Bears don't prepare well anyway. Less time doesn't seem to be a good thing for them, potentially. Let's go to tight end here. Fitz, who do you have as a streaming tight end this week?
Luke Musgrave. I know he sustained a concussion, but since he did so on Thursday, probably a pretty good chance he is able to come back and play in week 5. And as a wise man named Derek Brown noted in our waiver article this week, entering week 4, among 45 qualifying tight ends, Musgrave ranked 17th in yards per route run, 10th in yards after the catch per reception. And, you know, he's had a reasonably good target share, route participation. The usage has been very good. I know everyone is now looking for the next Sam Laporta, and maybe Luke Musgrave is the uncovered, unmined gem that we got earlier with Laporta.
All right, now sticking with the Sam Howell narrative, D-Bro, you've got Logan Thomas this week, right, as a streaming tight end.
Yep, I sure do. I think that he could walk into, I think, honestly, if you need to stream a tight end for not only this coming week, for the next 2 weeks, Logan Thomas should be on your radar. I get that he only got a 7% target share last week, but you look at week 1, 22% target share, 24% air yard share. There is some meat on the bone to be had here. And now with these next two matchups versus the Chicago Bears and Atlanta Falcons, these two teams have given up the 10th and 4th most fantasy points per game to opposing tight ends. Logan Thomas could be a top 12 guy for the next 2 weeks.
All right, let's talk about defense. D-Bro, who do you want to stream this week and take advantage of a good matchup?
Why are the Detroit Lions still out there? They're only rostered in 10% of leagues, and I don't understand it. Like, has nobody been watching what this defense is doing? They have an elite run defense. They have a top 10 pressure rate. Their secondary is playing really good. Like, they should not be out there, and now you're telling me they're going against the Carolina Panthers and Bryce Young, who can't throw the ball past 6 yards down the field? Oh, giddy up, baby.
All right, so Detroit's getting picked up. Fitz, you're just sticking with the Washington narrative, I believe, today, huh?
Yeah, I'm sticking on the pick on the Chicago Bears narrative, Joe. And, like, someone yelled at me on Twitter last week for having the Denver Broncos as my 8th-ranked team defense because they were going up against the Chicago Bears. This was, of course, after the Broncos gave up the 70-burger to the Dolphins in week 3, but you know, I just said to this guy, like, you might have noticed the Bears defense or offense is not as good as the Miami offense. And sure enough, the Broncos obliged me by getting 4 sacks, a fumble 6, and an interception. And we're one of the top defenses of week 4. So play Washington, 25% rostered against the Bears. Justin Fields, the most sacked quarterback of 2022, on pace to maybe be the most sacked quarterback of 2023. And he's already been responsible for 2 defensive touchdowns. He's thrown 5 interceptions in 4 games. Target the Chicago Bears with your streaming defenses.
All right, Fitz, let's help out everybody here who needs to just make straight waiver wire claims. No free agent budget. Give me the top 5 waiver wire ads for week 5.
Quentin Johnston by a nose over Jameson Williams, Jaleel McLaughlin 3rd, Luke Musgrave 4th to solve those tight end problems, and the streaming Sam Howell 5th.
All right, D-Bro, your top 5 for week 5.
Jameson Williams and Quentin Johnston are my top 1 and 2. They're in a tier by themselves. Then Jaleel McLaughlin, Marvin Mims is number 4, and Logan Thomas is number 5. And this is with a caveat: if CJ Stroud is not out there, If CJ Stroud is out there, I would pick him up even if you have tight end problems over Logan Thomas as my 5th player.
All right, let's take a quick listener mailbag question. This one's from Ty Stick 888. What should I do with Joe Burrow in dynasty leagues that I'm actually competing in? Would you sell low in exchange for maybe a CJ Stroud and a second round pick? What are your thoughts, guys? I mean, Burrow was one of those coveted guys in dynasty. This is your wheelhouse. You're the dynasty podcast host in the offseason, Fitz. What do you do? Are you just going to bite the bullet with Burrow, or are you going to make a deal?
It's funny. I don't know if the Stroud stakeholders giving up Stroud in a second for Burrow at this point. As good as Stroud has looked, that guy's probably buzzing with excitement right now. So I don't know if you're even getting that. Boy, that is tough. If you are contending right now, I mean, yeah, if you really have designs on a championship, you might have to sell a little bit low on Joe Burrow, because I don't think he is going to provide you with what you're looking for this year, or maybe not until at least like the latter part of November on. Like, you're going to have to wait, and if you're jockeying for playoff position, maybe you don't want to wait.
All right, there you have it, everybody. Make sure you use my playbook to get more waiver wire help. Check out fantasybros.com too for the waiver wire article and all of our content for waiver wire. We've got a ton of it, more than anybody, and it's the best ones out there. Plus our YouTube channel, always we have waiver wire related content here, videos, this podcast, all of it's here. Make sure you subscribe, because when you do, you just might win a little Christian McCaffrey jersey. Not too shabby there, thanks to us over here, over on the Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros site. So that'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on. For Derek Brown and Pat Fitzmaurice, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. Follow us on X, Instagram, and TikTok at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.